Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box. And yes, I'm sounding subdued, and yes, it's because I'm missing F1. Hopefully, like all you guys at home. So, apologies if this episode is a little bit shorter, but you know what the F1 break is like. You know, everyone goes a little bit quiet. I mean, they are quite literally not allowed to work. It is against the rules. But we still have a shorter but entertaining show for you, so do make sure you stick around and give us a 5-star rate. And this is exclusive to audio this week, so if you're new to audio because you're normally on YouTube, welcome. This is where the cool guys hang out, and girls, sorry. But yeah, do make sure you give us a 5-star rating. It really does make a massive difference to the podcast, and it really helps us out, and we massively appreciate it. If you want to keep up with us on social media, make sure you follow Boxbox Pod on Instagram and Boxbox Clips on TikTok. That is where you're going to get most of our content. We are obviously Boxbox Club powered. No, we are Boxbox Pod powered by Boxbox Club. So if you do want to get yourself an exclusive discount through the podcast, just sign up for an ultra subscription and use code BoxboxPod, all in capitals, all one word, and you will get 30% off an annual ultra subscription. But you can just download it for free and give it a whirl. It is very good, and it really is a cool app that just helps bring F1 a little bit closer to your phone. So, enough with all of that. Let's get on with the show.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. And like Luke said, it's a bit boring at the moment. No F1. You know, the Premier League season is back. Obviously, Luke, for you, Liverpool, very good start on Friday night. But it's a bit boring. Weekends aren't as exciting when there is no F1. So we've got some news. It's not going to be the most, you know, fun-filled episode, but we're bringing you some updated news. Luke, I'm going to start off with this one because you're going to like this. So, there was a F1 circuit that was dropped back in 2021. There is reports it is going to come back to the F1 calendar in 2027. Can you guess what the circuit is?
Well, of course, being one of my favourite circuits, I have seen this news. I'm hearing rumours, whispers, that we might be getting Portimão back, which, if you don't know, is the Portuguese Grand Prix. Which, if also you didn't know, it's one of my favourite tracks, and categorically, undeniably, one of the best tracks.
I love the circuit anyway. I think it's great. But apparently, the Portuguese Prime Minister has said the country is prepared to host an F1 race again in 2027. So
what? Why was it not prepared?
Sorry.
Why was it not prepared in the meantime? Like, why did we lose Portimão?
I don't know. It was during the COVID period, wasn't it? I think there's a lot of things that changed during COVID where we lost a few tracks. But my question to this, right, is we have, what, 24 races a season?
We do.
If we're expected to have another circuit added to 2027, who are we going to lose? Because it's great adding these circuits back onto... But, you know, the calendar, there's a lot of people out there who say, you know, the calendar's too long and, you know, it needs to be shortened. I personally disagree with that. I think having 24 races is great. I love having F1 pretty much every other weekend. I think it's great. Who goes?
Ruth is playing something so excruciatingly loud. I was like trying to cover the microphone. apologies if you heard that in the background. Fuck knows what she's listening to, but it didn't sound good. Well, there's kind of two ways you can look at that question. What track do I want to go versus what track do I think would go? Now, realistically, we're going to lose one of the European tracks, aren't we? Like, it will be European for European. Now, there's no, like, bias there. The European tracks are just generally better than, you know, these new tracks that we get elsewhere. So I think, why should we still continue to race somewhere like Miami, which is probably the track that I would scrap if I had it my way, I would bin Miami and get Portimao back. But what do I think we'll lose? I actually don't know. Probably somewhere like, I don't know. I actually don't know. I can guarantee it will be a track that causes uproar, because it will be like, why that track? Why not, you know, one of the soulless tracks? We've got so many soulless tracks, and I just know that they're gonna chip off a good one. To if they do bring Portimao back, it won't be like, oh wow, we actually got rid of a track that people aren't that interested in for Portimao, which is sick. It will be, nope, we got rid of a good one and replaced it with a good one. Great, but we could have done better.
Okay, let's play a bit of a game, shall we? Let's play keep or scrap. So looking ahead to next year, I don't know, that's a bit of a random name to come up with. But anyway, 2026 F1 calendar obviously got released a couple of months ago. So I'm going to go through each track and we're going to say between us, we keep it or scrap it. You can play at home if, you know, let us know. You see these clips on social media, so do go and comment on there. So Australia.
Keep. Oh, keep 100%. I mean, it's one of those tracks which, do you know, Australia can provide some good races. It doesn't necessarily provide good racing, but it does give opportunity. And I think that you've got to have a race in Australia nonetheless. And I love that it's back as our season opener. So keep.
Yeah. China. Keep.
Yeah. Yeah, look, great track.
Japan. As Brandon said last week, wasn't the most entertaining race, but it's historic. So for me, keep.
Yeah, that there can't even be a discussion about getting rid of Suzuka as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Bahrain.
I love it. I know I just said a lot of the new tracks are soulless. I actually think Bahrain is one of the much better tracks that we've got. I would keep Bahrain. I think that is a track that typically provides very good racing.
Yep. Miami.
Just bin it, lads. It didn't work. The problem is it's so like, it's so tacky. There's something about it. And don't get me wrong, like, I would go there because it's still like, why wouldn't you? But there's just something about it that I think, like, this whole thing is so disingenuous. And it's not even like an American thing, you know, where like they get hold of stuff and they kind of ruin it a lot. Because you look at somewhere like Kota and it's incredible, and actually there's a lot of really great motor racing in the USA. Obviously you've got a lot of IndyCar, NASCAR, but there's something about Miami which I think is worse than Vegas in the sense of like that, what's the word I'm looking for, like just how like disingenuous, and I don't know, it's really trying to be something that it just will never be.
We had quite a good race. Obviously, we know it's extended till 2042 or something. But it was actually quite an entertaining race this year. We had a good race. Kimi, you know, got pole there in the sprint race. And actually, the race itself was pretty decent. I'm on the fence with this. But if I had to pick, I'd probably say scrap. Same to you. Same with
you. You know, and it's like, realistically, if you were to say, like, okay, Portimao or Miami, what are you taking?
Oh, yeah, Portugal all day long.
Yeah, exactly. So, and look, I think we've got three races in the USA. Kota is unbelievable, and I know we'll get to that on Stick Scrap, but like that is such a great like environment and atmosphere, and that is like proper American. You really see the culture, and I think at Miami you see the worst of the culture there.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
No, so next one is Canada.
Yeah, you gotta keep that. Again, it's one of those tracks that doesn't necessarily always provide the best racing.
No,
but it does give us good races.
Yep. Obviously Barcelona. I think Barcelona's last year. Next year, obviously Madrid joins the calendar as well. But Barcelona, I would just love to keep. I like Barcelona's iconic. I don't know why we're getting rid of it.
Yeah, No, I agree. And look, I know a lot of this is going to sound like, I don't know, nostalgia merchants or like, we hate change. I'm not actually saying that. Do you know what? Generally, I think there should probably be like 10 or 12 tracks absolutely locked in for like eternity.
Yeah.
We will never not see racing at this track unless the tracks simply don't exist. And I'd more than happily like sort of rotate a lot of tracks with different tracks, because I think there is more tracks than 24 tracks that are good to race at and great to race at. And I'm not even saying we should never go back to Miami ever again, but every year, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe there's more to it than just, well, these are the 24 tracks, we drop one out every like 4 years and bring a new one in. Maybe just have your 12 solid tracks and you bump it out, like the other 12, they get sort of rotated with all the other great tracks in the world. But Barcelona is not a track that we should be losing to a brand new track in Madrid, which looks horrific. I hope it proves me wrong.
Austria, keep.
Yeah, I think. But Austria is probably one of the ones that I would make expendable. I think it's a really cool track. I should just stress that I actually really like Austria. But it's not a track that... It's not iconically F1.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, we've had some quite tedious races over the years, haven't we, there? At that 21 season, Max back-to-back, they were what... It was the most ridiculous thing. They dominated 1 week, go back again the next week. Who's going to dominate? It's going to be Max. Yeah, I just like Austria. I suppose a bit like what Brandon said last week, just the look of it, I think, is just class. For me personally, I would keep it. Silverstone, keep.
Like, realistically, that is... It's a top three track.
Yeah. Spa, keep.
Yeah, just not even up for discussion.
No, although we know that it's going to be out covering the next 4 out of 6 years. There's a couple of years where it won't be on the calendar, which I think is just mental.
What, like, and this is my problem. Why is a track like Miami being given, you know, a 15-year contract or whatever, and then tracks like Spa are finding themselves at risk? It's like, it's just money talking, and I don't like it.
Yeah,
I don't think they... If Miami was absolutely sensational, and I was like, actually, like, this is probably the best track we've seen, then you can understand it. But a lot of these new tracks are just terrible, and they're just created in a way where they can sell tickets for as much as possible and try and bleed money out of fans.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's what I think a lot of it is down to.
Well, we know Spa is going to be missing off the calendar for 28 and 2030. So, yeah, Spa is one of those that would be one of the top 12 tracks you have to have year in, year out. It's iconic. It is class. Okay, Budapest. This one is a bit of a... I wouldn't be disappointed if it stayed or was scrapped. It's one of those that I'm in between.
Budapest would go on my rotation list. It's one of the tracks that I would love to see in that rotation, but it's not a track that I look at and think that is fundamental to F1. Because, again, it's given us some good races. It's a really tricky track to get like kind of excited about because you know that it's going to be really difficult, and it doesn't carry... Let's compare it to Monaco, maybe. That's probably its closest comparison, although still quite different because the barriers are a lot further away. But like, it doesn't carry the same heritage that Monaco carries, for example. So like, when we get around to Monaco, we're going to say stick because you have to have it in F1. But Hungary is not... It doesn't have that power behind it to sort of make you feel, well, we have to have it.
Yeah, talking of Monaco, I have missed it on the calendar. So sorry, yeah, Monaco. I mean, look, people know, if you've listened to us for a while, you know our views on Monaco. It is basically everything happens on a Saturday. It's not exciting, but because of the nostalgia and the history, it won't ever go anywhere, I don't think.
I could genuinely, I promise this is true, I could not tell you if we have raced there this year already or not.
Well, we have, but yeah.
I don't remember it one bit.
Lando Norris win.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I've got no... In terms of racing, it is awful. I actually I have no recollection of that race.
I know. It's not an exciting race. It's not an exciting race.
But it is Monaco, and so I get it. It would stay. It will have to stay.
That will never go anywhere. Netherlands, Zandvoort, as we know, that is going... This is the last year next year, I believe, and it will be going then. I don't think it's the most awful track. I actually think it is quite a sick track. But for me, I would scrap.
Yep, I would scrap. I feel like Zandvoort is one of those tracks which is maybe more fun for the drivers than it is the fans. But yeah, it doesn't really provide enough. Look, it's great. The atmosphere that you see there, you know, with all the Max fans. But I still don't think it's as good as Austria in terms of like Max atmosphere.
No.
Orange Army
and the main straight is Max Central. On the main straight on Zandvoort is Max Central.
And, you know, I think for the purpose that Max has such a great following and, you know, the way that they conduct themselves, like all the orange smoke and like representing the colours and stuff.
Yeah.
I think having a track in the Netherlands is a great idea all the while Max Verstappen is in the sport, because to bring those out is incredible. You want to see them. I know they travel in numbers all around the world, but like Austria and Zandvoort is obviously where you see them at their absolute peak. And I just don't think Zandvoort is the right track. I'm not sure if there's any good tracks in the Netherlands, but I would like to race there, just not at Zandvoort.
No, agree. Monza, keep. Madrid, well, we don't know yet, so we'll wait and see. We will hold that thought because...
Next season, we will come back and we will say Madrid versus Barcelona and we will determine what is actually better. Yeah. But I mean, if you take it at face value, looking at the tracks, come on, there's no debate there.
Baku. I really am not a fan of Baku.
I think Baku would... I'd scrap it happily. If another track, you know, like, oh my God, you could reel off so many tracks and be like, yeah, I'm going to forget basically every track in the world. But even like Hockenheim, you would race there. Mugello, Turkey.
South Africa,
yeah. Malaysia. Like, all these tracks, you'd instantly port them out. Obviously, that goes there. There's so many tracks where you'd be like, yeah, we'll race there instead of Baku. But I like it because it's in quite a unique part of the world compared to other tracks. I know it's fairly close to the Middle East and Europe, but it is, like, it's quite uniquely situated. And I do like the idea that all fans get the opportunity to go and watch a race. But it's not... It's just not the greatest track.
No. Singapore, keep.
Yeah, Singapore, again, is one of those tracks where I just think you've had so many iconic moments occur there.
Yeah.
And look, I like... Night races are sick. We don't have a great deal of night races. We can't lose too many.
No. Austin, we like Austin. Keep that.
What? Austin is arguably like a top six Grand Prix weekend. Maybe even top five.
Yeah. It's a quality weekend.
I think people would struggle to argue with that. Like, atmosphere, racing, like, the track is unbelievable. They've really nailed it with that. And I don't know why they can't just replicate that elsewhere, because if they pulled like an Austin vibe into Miami with that sort of track and everything that comes with it, which is so like authentically American, and I don't know, just they've absolutely nailed that. But you get to Miami and you're like, oh, this is just not it. It's not
the
one.
I'm just checking something, because if I'm correct, there was a call. Do you remember the Indianapolis Grand Prix?
Yes. Yeah.
See that?
Yeah. Well, that was with that. That had the big, like, it was like the Indy 500.
Yeah. See, that was a cool track. That was a cool track. Right. Just finishing off on this. So Mexico, I would personally scrap. I've never liked Mexico. I don't understand. A lot of people go, yeah, it's great. It was fine when you had Sergio Perez in the sport. Okay. It was fine. I've never enjoyed this track. And I know I might get some stick for that, but in my opinion, I'd scrap it.
I think, again, similar to Baku and you know, Zandvoort, I think the crowd are incredible there.
100%, yeah.
But like, and that's what I talk about when it's difficult, because I talk about a lot of these soulless tracks, and it's because the crowd aren't quite amazing, the tracks aren't the same. Mexico doesn't have the best track, but it does have one of the best atmospheres. So I would scrap it if we're talking purely based on the track. But again, I would just love to see another track in Mexico that we end up racing at. I feel like I wouldn't want to see Formula One not in Mexico.
No.
I just don't want to see it in its current capacity.
Yeah. Brazil, you got to keep. It's one of the greatest.
That top, again, top three track.
Yep. Vegas. Look, I know we say about street circuits, but I've actually been impressed with Vegas since we've had a couple of good races since we've been there. And I've liked it. I've liked it.
I think Vegas makes sense. It's very F1.
Yeah.
Racing in Las Vegas, like, I mean, yeah, I didn't want to like it. I wanted to be the cynic. I wanted to, you know, I spoke shit about it before, but I'm always happy to eat my words and be like, look, I was wrong. I like it. I think the track could be improved for sure, but it's not as bad as it looks. And it's Vegas. I think the one thing I would say about those tracks is, like, lads, just bring the ticket prices down. Like, stop trying to absolutely squeeze every penny out of people. You would sell out the venue, because I'm pretty sure you could probably still get tickets to the Las Vegas Grand Prix on the day. You want to sell out the whole weekend, you know. You don't want to see empty seats on Friday, on Saturday. Oh, but then, you know, when the race comes, yeah, okay, we sold out. Great, but, like, this is a weekend event, and if you didn't charge, God knows how much they charge, but I know it's expensive, and I know Brandon mentioned it last week. If you just tried to charge, like, normal prices, then you would fill it up.
Yeah.
And it would make the whole weekend so much more vibey, which it's already sick because it's F1 in Vegas,
yeah.
Which that is some combination. We just need the fans to really bring it to life.
Just finishing on the final two, Qatar, I would keep. I really like the track. I think it's sick. I don't know what you think, Luke, of Qatar.
I think Qatar is a really cool track. It was also a little bit soulless from a fan perspective.
The fan, I feel like the fan bit is something they need to improve on, yeah.
Yeah. And again, that could be down to a pricing. I haven't looked into going to Qatar, but that is one of the things that does bug me a little bit about it. Like, it's not packed out. And also, again, like, are we racing there for the right reasons? But fundamentally, looking at the track is sick.
Yeah, I agree. Finally, Abu Dhabi, scrap.
I never ever want to see that track again in my life. Every time we get to the end of the season, It's just pure PTSD.
I mean, look, the track itself is okay. Like, it's nothing to write home about. But like Luke and I said, and you can all comment and absolutely fine, get over it and all of this stuff. After 2021, that track is tarnished to me. It just
and
is.
We're allowed to grieve for as long as we want. So you can tell us to get over it, but we don't have to.
Come back to us in 30 years' time. Will we be over it? No, we won't be over it.
I don't think I'd ever truly get over it unless Lewis was able to win number eight.
Yeah. That's the only time we'll get over it. If Lewis wins the eighth, then we're over it. Then we'll move on. And then we'll like the track again. Do let us know about the circuits. Who would you drop? Who would you keep? Who would you get rid of? Do let us know. Right, in other news, Yuki Tsunoda, and this is a mad stat, I didn't realise this, Yuki Tsunoda hasn't scored points since his P10 back in Imola. Since then, there's been seven races. Okay, he's finished P17, P13, P12, 16, 15, 13, 17. For a Red Bull, I know that Red Bull isn't great this year, but it's not great, is it, for Yuki Tsunoda? And we've sat on this podcast week in, week out going, we want him to do well, you know, but it just isn't working.
It's grim reading. It's very grim reading for him. But I read a report suggesting that both RB and Red Bull are going to continue with the same lineup going into next season. Because they've gone through so much instability, not just necessarily drivers, but obviously that is one factor, but team members, Christian Horner leaving the team, but obviously Christian Horner leaving the team meant that Laurent Mekies was then taken from RB, so it's been so chaotic. They've been all over the place, and the car has not been great, but it's so hard to judge whether it's the car is not very good at all, or is Max making it look a lot better, or is Yuki making it look a lot worse, that they want to head into 2026 with just some stability. And I get it, I actually do, but can Red Bull afford another season where there is such a big disparity between the two drivers?
I think for Laurent Mekies, it's his main role now is to try and work out what direction he wants to go. You've got to remember, this team has been led by Christian Horner for, 20 years? And he's gone to the last few years, it's been solely focused on Max Verstappen. As long as they've had Max Verstappen, they are absolutely fine. They'll go on and win, you know, titles, constructors, all of that stuff. But the last couple of years, since that's stopped, they're now in a position where they're kind of going, Max can't go on and win those titles like we used to. You know, the other teams are now coming into play. What do we need to do? And we've said on here many times, you always need two good drivers. You'll always have one driver who will always lead that team, but you need another good driver picking up those points week in, week out. You've seen that with the likes of Schumacher, Barrichello, Bottas, Hamilton. But now Red Bull are in a position where they can't rely on Max to keep getting those wins week in, week out. And it is a worrying time for Red Bull.
Yeah. I mean, well, clearly, they got rid of Christian Horner, who had been at the helm for God knows, well, since the inception of Red Bull. So, yeah, it's they do need stability. They do. So, maybe it is the right call, but They can't run into the situation of getting rid of a driver mid-season. They can't get rid of Yuki. If they're going to keep him, they cannot get rid of him in July next year.
No.
They have to run the season with him if stability is their main aim.
Yeah, I agree. Do let us know. This is an interesting one, Luke. This makes me laugh. So, the World Championship without McLaren, okay? So, these smart people have worked out, you take away McLaren where people would finish if McLaren weren't there. And it's interesting because take away Piastri, take away Lando Norris, currently leading the championship would be, do you know?
I It might be Charles Leclerc.
No, it's George Russell. He would have had five wins. He would currently be on 250 points. In P2 would be Max Verstappen on 242 points. And in P3 would be Charles Leclerc on 224. So if you took away the McLaren, we would be currently having a three-way title battle.
Right, and the difference Lewis?
Would be 26 points.
Where's Lewis in this?
He's P4 with 165 points. So he's not doing too great.
Yeah, but that's all right. The comeback's on. The comeback is on. We're heading into the second half of the season. They've got upgrades coming ahead.
But interestingly, and I know this is all hypothetical because it didn't happen, and we all know that actually McLaren are in this title battle, but what would have happened if there was no McLaren? There would have been a maiden win for Hülkenberg at Silverstone.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And a podium debut for Kimi Antonelli. I mean, it does show you, doesn't it, that, you know, I know we always have those dominant teams each year, but I do quite like seeing this every now and then, because you take away, and I've seen ones in the past when you've taken away Mercedes and you've taken away Red Bull, and you'd look, see how the championship would look. But yeah, George Russell would be leading the championship if there was no McLaren.
But why do we always have a dominant car? Why is it that we have, you know, for example, okay, we've got Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, maybe less so Red Bull, but if they had like an actual team, they had two drivers that were capable of picking up podiums, etc., they would be in this. Why have we got three teams who are like completely equal, right? If we didn't have McLaren, we'd have three teams that were going for the Constructors and the World Drivers' Championship. But why do we always have a team that dominates in every era of car? Why is it always one? There's never two. There's never three. Why is it always one? But then just below that, you could have like three teams that are exactly the same. Why can't they be exactly the same, but in the sort of dominating position? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get. Obviously, 2021, we had both Red Bull and Mercedes, weren't they? They were dominating two teams there. But since that, I mean, 2022, what do you have? Bit of Ferrari, but mainly Red Bull. 2023 was just a Red Bull dominance. 2024, you started to see a bit of McLaren coming back in. But yeah, it is interesting that actually there's always one car or one team that seem to get these era of cars just spot on. And for some reason, other teams take 2-3 years to even get close. And then by that time, you have a new regulation change. So you're always in this cycle. What I would have loved to seen is after 2021, we continued with those same regulations for 2022, because I think we would have continued on that battle between Max and Lewis. And actually, you may have seen other teams come into play there. But I think 2022 was a missed opportunity for that.
Yeah, it came at a bad time. But to be honest, we were lucky to get 2021 because the regulations only got, you know, they got pushed on for a year because of COVID. But I just don't understand why are we able to have three equal teams in like the second position, but not going for the first position? It's just, it's frustrating. And yeah, I do think 2022 would have been quite some season had we have, you know, stuck with the old era of cars. But I just hope that 2026 brings us a real fresh start to the sport, and we don't just see one team dominate. I know people think that we're just like pure Lewis lovers, but I don't even care.
I just want to see different teams involved. I want to see a championship for, you know, battle with, you know, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes. I want to see different winners week in, week out. I want a real championship battle. And we go back to 2021 because we had a proper championship battle. It was the pendulum was swinging each week. You had a Red Bull win, you had a, you know, Mercedes win. It was just exciting. But I feel one thing we haven't really had is a good three-way, four-way championship battle in years. I can't even remember the last time we had a two, Wait, three, four-way battle.
It would have been like 2012, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was. So, which is mental. And, you know, yeah, okay, we're Lewis lovers. I say Lewis lovers, we're Lewis fans. That sounds a bit
don't
weird.
Don't make it weird.
Yeah, I know. That was.
See, I was saying other people called us that. You self-proclaimed that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've realised I've made that weird. We're Lewis fans. That's what I meant to say. But I just want a good championship battle. And I know we've kind of got that this year with Oscar and Lando, but I want more teams involved in it. I want more teams. And the only thing that would have made 2021 better would have been having the likes of Ferrari in that mix or McLaren in that mix as well with the Max and Lewis battle.
Yeah, although 2021 will be, you know what, like, that's going to be hard to top because I'm all for as many teams as possible, but when you have... That was intense. I don't think we've ever seen, at least not in our era, generation, a title battle like that. That was quite something. I know we've definitely had them in the time, but I was born in 1996. So if you're old enough to remember sort of Senna, Prost, Schumacher, Hill, great, but I'm not.
That is mad, though, what you said earlier, isn't it? That the fact of if we didn't have COVID... We would never have got that 21 season because the regulations would have started in 2021.
Yeah, so thank God to the bat.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying we wanted COVID, but I mean, it is mental that actually to think we wouldn't have had that season otherwise.
Was the butterfly effect?
The butterfly effect.
Have you not heard of that before?
No.
I think... Like, the story of it originating is, like, it's, like, if you kill a butterfly or something, the knock-on effect that that could then have on, like... So, it's, like, have you ever, like, placed a bet? You've done an accumulator, and you've bet, like, four teams, right? And you got one of them wrong. And you're, like, damn it, if only I had bet on, like, them to win instead of them to win. But... If you had bet on the other team to win, everything that plays out from that moment onwards is completely different because it's a different like path. Do you know what I mean? It leads to so many different outcomes. So that's the butterfly effect.
Yeah, there you go.
So that goes all the way back to like COVID starting. Maybe, you know, if it's to do with someone eating a bat, that singular incident led to Max Verstappen winning his first world championship. Do you see what I'm...
Yeah, I see your point. It's all started somewhere.
Yeah, and it's like those small things that can have such a big effect.
There you go.
I'm sure I've explained that horrifically, but like... I'm sure someone's going to be like, you don't even understand it. Fuck off.
Okay. Right, let's talk Christian Horner. So, as we know, Horner now is completely left Red Bull. He's cut all ties with Red Bull. That is completely done. There's speculation this week that actually...
What? Was he meant to continue in some fashion?
Well, no, he was still part of the board or something. He was still part of something, but he's completely cut ties with everything now. He was sacked as team principal, but he had ties still. But that's completely been tied... Completely gone now. So with Christian Horner cutting ties completely now with Red Bull, there's a lot of speculation that actually he is linked with potentially Alpine, but also a reunion potentially with Sergio Perez next year with Cadillac. Don't know if you've seen this. What do you think?
Would he take him back? If Christian Horner gets the position at Cadillac... Does he have Sergio Perez there?
I mean, I think Christian Horner's always been very complimentary of Sergio Perez, and I think he's always been he's highly spoken of him. And I think what was really shown with how Red Bull have been since Sergio Perez has left, that actually Sergio Perez probably wasn't a bad driver. It was just the car.
Yeah, Sergio Perez wasn't a bad driver. He wasn't, I think, at that time, a Red Bull standard driver.
Who do you think would be better suited for Christian Horner, Alpine or Cadillac?
Well, you could argue Cadillac because Christian Horner's greatest asset is building a team. Now, he'd have to go into Alpine, who are a very well-established team, and turn them around. I think if you're looking for a man to kickstart a team in the sport, Christian Horner's your guy, no?
No, I'd agree. I don't, and we said this when Christian Horner got sacked, that there's not many teams on that grid who would turn down Christian Horner. I think his experience and his knowledge on winning, on building a team, is second to none. So I think he, having someone like him would be so fundamental, and especially for a team like Cadillac coming into the sport, having his knowledge and experience of the sport would be superb for them. I really do think that.
Yeah, it would be the best possible move that Cadillac could make, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Do let us know, where should Christian Horner go next? Just finishing off, Luke, I want to go through, obviously, the first half of the season. What has been your highlight of the season so far?
Oh, God. So I'm going to look at this from two perspectives. One, as a Lewis Hamilton fan, and one as an F1 fan. So, you know, as a Lewis fan, my highlight of the season, China sprint race. Lewis wins, absolutely controls the pack. That was great to see, and like him coming over the radio afterwards and, you know, hearing that belief in him. I mean, it's taken quite a turn now. but that moment was kind of like, oh shit, if Ferrari has peaked there for Lewis, and that was a great moment. In terms of F1, I mean, I've got a couple. Hülkenberg on the podium has got to be one. That was quality. I've also got another one which might wind a few people up, but I think one of the highlights of the season was Lando smashing into the back of Oscar.
Okay. In Canada.
Canada. Because I think it could be so pivotal to this season. Because you then saw Oscar make, you know, a naughty lunge, hungry. And I just think that happening has maybe shifted the mindset of the two of them to where they're like, it is, we kind of have to risk everything to go for this.
Yeah.
And obviously it was funny to watch. But yeah, I think it's probably not, I think the best is yet to come for this season. And that might sound obvious, but I feel like this battle between Lando and Oscar is going to really intensify. And I think that is obviously going to produce the best moments of the 2025 season. So I'm absolutely here for it.
No, what about yours? I agree. I think the two outstanding ones for me, Lewis in China, but Hülkenberg, seeing him get his first podium in Silverstone, I thought was a fantastic drive. And I know people don't think I'm a Lando fan, but obviously it was nice seeing him win his home race. That's great for him as a highlight. Obviously, as well, winning Monaco. But I think the thing that I've enjoyed the most is seeing the likes of Bortoleto and Hajar deliver week in, week out, and do such a good job on their rookie season. So far for me, that's been a massive highlight for that, just seeing those progress really nicely.
Yeah, it's been a really goodwill sort of season. It's been, you know, you've seen a lot of rookies come through doing really good. Like, to be honest, all the rookies have ended up doing well. You know, Ollie Bearman is doing a great job. He's constantly on the cusp of, you know, I don't think his points tally is reflective of how well he's driven this season. Isaac Hajar has been borderline flawless. Bortoleto, really under the radar, and is having an incredibly underrated season. I think people are just starting to recognise that now. We spoke really highly of him for the best part of the season because he'd actually just been slowly chipping away, hadn't been causing damage. I know that changed, I think, at Silverstone, but he'd just been doing what was expected of him. And now, actually, he's really starting to show his pace as well. Liam Lawson, if you consider him a rookie, season started off terribly, but it is good to see him turn it around. And, you know, no one wants to see a driver be absolutely mentally destroyed, because Liam Lawson isn't like a slow driver. You don't get that Red Bull seat by being slow. The people at Red Bull aren't stupid. Mm. But then obviously seeing him lose his seat, come back to Racing Bulls, and he was slow. He had lost his mojo, but now he's got it back, and that is good to see. And Kimi Antonelli, I mean, look, you've stuck an 18-year-old in a Mercedes. It's a tricky one. He's not having the season I'm sure Mercedes wanted him to have, or even he wanted to have, or yeah, maybe what people expected him to have. But he could be doing far, far worse. And I think, you know, 18 years old, should we just reiterate that point?
No, agree. Finally, just finishing off the podcast, who has been your biggest flop of the season so far? I have two for this, but I want to hear what you say first.
I mean, Yuki Tsunoda has to be the biggest, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Yuki, I think it's fair to raise question marks around Carlos Sainz and Lewis Hamilton. Because in terms of anticipation and expectation, Lewis by far, but I don't think this is like defining of Lewis. I think next year will be a bigger year for Lewis at Ferrari.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, when you say flop, I think disappointing. Look, I'm a Lewis fan, but I'm going to say it, and we've always been very critical when needed to be. He has been disappointing this year for multiple reasons. I think Ferrari have been disappointing this year, but ultimately, when you look at that from Lewis's performances, he hasn't delivered. It's been a very tough year, so I would say Lewis from that aspect. But the other flop of the season so far for me has to be Alpine. I think they've absolutely been shocking, in the sense of, you start off with Jack Doohan, they brought in Franco Colapinto beforehand, that hasn't worked. You got rid of Doohan, brought Colapinto in, and they're in this position where they're just a bit of an embarrassment at the moment, aren't they? They have no real direction where they're going.
Yeah, to be fair, I could have said Franco Colapinto, but I didn't want to start a fight with the fans again.
Don't worry, I'll take that one for you, Luke. I'll take that one for you.
But Colapinto has been incredibly disappointing. And I don't really care if you come here and give me shit for it. Like, he has. I don't want him to be. I want every single driver to do well, other than Max Verstappen sometimes. I wish he'd just give it a rest and be a little bit shit for a little bit. But it's not nice to see Franco Colapinto come into Alpine and flop it hard. Because he's a great personality to have on the grid. It's great having, you know, another South American driver on the grid, Argentinian. It's, you know, it brings a new sort of, I know they're still fans of the sport, but it really allows them to sort of be attached to a singular driver. And I hope he's able to turn it around after the summer break. I hope he's given the opportunity. I think Alpine can't get rid of him at this point. I think if the second half of his season is not spectacular, he won't have a seat next year.
No. But that's what I mean for Alpine. That is embarrassing. You know, you've invested in Jack Doohan. You then, before you even given Jack Doohan the proper time to start, brought in Colapinto on a quite a hefty contract, and your golden boy, in some sense, has failed to deliver. So it would be a very embarrassing moment for Alpine if Franco Colapinto does not see next year.
Yeah, I mean, Alpine, it's been a disaster. The car's probably the worst on the grid. Mm. They're lucky they've got Pierre Gasly, put it that way.
100%, yeah, 100%. Right, that is the end of the podcast. A bit of a shorter podcast this week, but we still thought we would bring you some content. So hopefully you have enjoyed it. If you're listening on Spotify, please leave us a 5-star rating, and you can also leave a comment as well. So do go and check us out on there. We really appreciate it. Go and check us out on all social media, TikTok, Instagram. We post daily. So go and check us out on there. And we'll be back next week for a brand new podcast. So Luke, have a good week. Everyone, have a good week. And we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.